as the only form of promotion and relegation we have right now in American soccer. They promoted themselves to the unnamed second division in 2010.
Okay, self-promotion?
Yes.
You can do that?
Sure, it's just right now it's...
Yeah, sure, about the De Niro.
About the money. So then they became a founding member of the new modern era NASL in 2011. So FC Edmonton was as well.
Great.
So that was the first year that the NASL played the new league. So
how'd they do last season?
Last season finished the spring season third, the fall season seventh, which was not good enough to put them into the playoffs.
The old law of averages strikes again.
their best finish, in club history was a trip to the soccer bowl that they were unable to
convert into a win
and take home. So I think they've got a pretty good fan base. They've got a really nice facility, Wake Med Soccer Park. In Cary, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Well,
look, they have clearly allowed controversy to roll off their backs. So their last owner is basically implicated in this FIFA bribery scheme.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. So he is really interesting. I think it's called Traffic Sports. You should Google it.
Okay.
Well, I haven't been following the story, but so they've had to kind of roll with it. So they're still averaging 4,500 fans in a 10,000-seat stadium. I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
45%.
I sat on the couch. This is so great about the NASL. I sat on the couch yesterday afternoon preparing myself mentally for the Rio home opener and had my iPhone and pulled up the Watch ESPN app, and I was sitting there watching this game. So the crowd, the weather was beautiful. The crowd looked into it. I'd say about 60% full.
Cool.
Supporter section was going great. So, so excited to see him come to Oklahoma. Will, after what we saw last night, do you think you can provide a good prediction for the game Saturday?
Yeah, I'll take Rio 13, Railhawks 7.
Okay.
What about you?
Despite your baseball score, I don't really know. Like we said,
I actually fear the worst.
Yeah. You
know, like, it would be, I feel, momentum stopping to go lose 1-0 or 2-0. You know, 2-0 to me is always a comprehensive victory in soccer. 3-0 is kind of a blowout. It would hurt to lose a game 2-0. I hope they can pull off a W. I can't make a prediction in good conscience. I don't know enough about Carolina.
Yeah, it's really tough. I'm going to make a prediction just for the sake of making one. And I'm going to predict a 2-2 draw. I'm going to say it's 2-1 Railhawks, and late in the game, again, we see a late Samaras substitution on, and he finishes this time. So,
all right, we'll hold you to it.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, so that wraps up the Carolina preview, thorough that it was. We are going to come back with a free talk segment full of hot sports takes. Stay with us.
All right, we're back. Episode 10. We just finished recapping the very first game in Rio OKC history. And it's been a really big week. And Will, I know you've got a lot of stuff you want to get off your chest in this free talk segment.
I always do, right?
In fact, you've gone so far as to prepare somewhat of a statement. A manifesto, if you will.
Well, rather than y'all listening to me ramble incoherently, I found that it was better to organize my thoughts. But if there was a title for this manifesto, this credo, it would be called Manufactured Controversies. I feel like in a lot of ways, that is a big theme from the last week. So there's a couple controversies, and so I'll talk about the first one, and that is continued pushback from Viacano fans. So I talked about this in the last free talk. But let me...
It's been talked about a lot, but please continue.
I think we should keep talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
The easy narrative is the easy way out, and I think it's flawed. So let me ask you a question. Let's say that you have, I'm just going to pick a number here, $20 million to spend to try to improve your team. And historically, your team has been, you know, the third team in a major city.
Middle of the table.
Middling La Liga side.
Bouncing between relegate to the first and second division every 6 years
for
or so.
Decades.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather take that money and gamble it on 2 to 3 players, hope that they gel with the team, they perform, they don't get hurt, and that they stick around for a while, and that their performance impacts the table standing of your team? Or would you rather invest it into something that is sustainable in the long term as a player development pipeline and that hopefully improves your club on an order of magnitude that is greater than just dipping into the transfer market year after year?
Yeah, so I know we've talked about this before. Their relatively small investment into Rayo OKC has not only brought their branding over.
There were people last night wearing Vallecano jerseys. Now, yes, they weren't wearing the black kit. Maybe that means they're homophobes, but they were still wearing it.
So we've already seen that the marketing, the branding. Guess what? Now, almost every person, every fan of an NASL team we've talked to says, I want one of those black jerseys.
Right.
So they're going to be funneling money back to Vallecano, back to the sibling club or the mother club, however you want the relationship to look like. Also, this gives them a free shot to sign somebody like Giorgio Samaras, who's coming off of an injury, who, depending on who you talk to, failed 1 to 2 medicals. Now they can, if they sign him for a relatively small amount, he plays one season here. If he does great, it's just a tune-up for La Liga play. Everybody benefits.
So no,
I mean, we talked about it before.
Well, look. Well, the obvious counterpoint is it's a misallocation of near-term resources. It's not a secret. Vallecano, their current stadium is pretty rough. And maybe you could say they should have invested in the stadium first. Or maybe they should have spent some money on the stadium and this kind of development pipeline. It's fair. But let me ask you another question. Does owning a Lamborghini make you a better driver? I'm a terrible driver, by the way. If you want to raise the profile of your club, do you buy a stadium today and hope it attracts players and that those players go on to kind of make your club higher in the table standings? Or do you attract the players, hope that they get you a groundswell of performance, and then use that as a platform to go buy the stadium? Because look, if it was just about the stadium, I'm pretty sure they would have already done it, right? Anybody can spend that money, go hire a contractor, spec it out, and do it. I'm pretty sure the Dallas Cowboys haven't won the last 5 Super Bowl titles or even played in one. So for me, it's too easy. So now shifting gears a little bit, another manufactured controversy this week about Rayo OKC, their announcement of the jerseys and the meanings behind the jersey. So if you're not familiar, they have this black kit with a rainbow strip, and so does the home club, Vallecano. So the Vallecano, the rainbow is supportive of the LGBT community, and each of the colors has a specific meaning as well. What Rayo OKC did this week was they basically released the identical jersey, and then they clarified the local charitable intent meaning behind each of the colors. So while they could have probably communicated a little more clearly that, yes, the rainbow still is here, there are some kind of vocal members of, I guess, the opposition that are presuming or implying that the Rayo OKC entity is anti-LGBT because they didn't reaffirm the meaning of the rainbow strip when they were announcing the local charity. The implication of that is a serious, and B, and I say this with intentionally, a very dangerous error in logic. And as an example, it's like saying, well, the Energy don't have a rainbow strip on their jerseys, so therefore they must be anti-LGBT as well. If that hits too close to home, here's another one. I haven't heard any anti-child hunger advertisements on the franchise lately. Therefore, I must assume that everyone at the franchise supports child starvation. You could see how dangerous that is as a platform for the way that you think. It's a slippery slope.
Yes. Okay. So, and really, really quickly, let me interrupt you there, because one thing we talked about early on is if the team takes a carbon copy of the jerseys, of the Vallecano jerseys, and brings them over, we would hope that they would add some local connections to it.
Yes, which they did.
So they did, and let me announce those. I have it right here. The purple stripe represents support for nonviolence and nonviolent action. The blue stripe, specifically human rights and justice and diversity awareness.
Okay.
The blue stripe represents autism awareness and support for families in the autistic in the autism community for those that support them. The green stripe represents support for the family farming and ranching in our state and for our Oklahoma rural communities, which, if it were not for the energy industry, would be the number one source of income for everyone in the state of Oklahoma, specifically in Canadian County where the team's home games are played. So there you go, building the wall around UConn. The yellow stripe represents support for our military forces, awareness for PTSD and for suicide prevention. The orange stripe represents food insecurity and hunger awareness. The team has partnered with the Needs Foundation, which collects and the unserved or unsold food surplus from grocers, bakers, and restaurants, and distributes the food for needy Oklahomans. And the red stripe represents education awareness, and the team has partnered with the Roger Palacios Foundation to support their effort to raise funds for college scholarships. So there you go. There is your local tie-in to what is undoubtedly a great cause.
Could the rain? I mean, the rainbow has a very obvious meaning, and so to try to not have that is just a ludicrous. But look, okay. If you say, well, it is a fair question to ask of the team, which I don't think it is, but like I said, I also think they could have communicated a little bit better. Think about how negative or cynical your mindset has to be in the first place to assume bigotry or homophobia, or that Ryo Vallecano would sign off on a local ownership group not supporting a social cause that they hold very dear. The last time that I checked, soccer was supposed to be a platform to unify the community. And so it's very disappointing to me to see people trying to drive wedges in what are very positive causes. So, okay, changing to my next topic, which is related, there were also some comments that I saw about how these jersey sales were a bait and switch, using the commercial platform of selling jerseys to raise money for charity. Now, first of all, that is not a bait and switch and is not a valid critique. You know, God forbid that kind of positive community social causes also be economically viable or, you know, raise money in kind of creative ways.
People are going to buy the shirts regardless because they look awesome.
Look.
So you might as well get some of it for charity.
You got to advance the cause of the charity somehow, right? So, but look, like I said, it's not a valid critique in the first place. But even if it were, the energy do the exact same thing. $2 from every ticket of energy home games goes to the Fields and Futures nonprofit, which, by the way, is a great cause. Oh, but since we're talking about a bait and switch, it's worth mentioning that an owner of the energy runs said nonprofit. So it's on an even deeper level than what you're accusing Ryo OKC of doing, which, again, is not a bait and switch in the first place and is exactly what you should be doing to align your club with the community. So look, all of this is to say I feel a real, and this is corny, I feel a really strong shared responsibility to raise the image of Oklahoma City, to do things that make Oklahoma City a better place to be. And it's corny to say out loud, but I think everyone feels it, and it's part of what attracted me to come back to live here in the first place.
And let me be clear that some will say, undoubtedly, that they are trying to raise the imagery of OKC, but you're in UConn. You're not in OKC. Okay, the Greater Oklahoma City Chamber of Commerce defines itself as Oklahoma County and all of the surrounding counties.
Boom. So full stop. Conversation over.
And that's it. I mean, the Great Oklahoma City Chamber of Commerce is the driver for so many of these things.
Full stop.
To say that you're not in Oklahoma City proper, and if that argument comes up, I mean,
it's not a valid argument in the first place.
And you're also,
the Dallas Cowboys play in Arlington.
You're also a fool if you think that Ryo OKC, if they last, when their lease is up at UConn Stadium, that they're going to build their stadium in Canadian County, that they're 100% sure they're going to do that.
Well, look, let me ask you a question. What strengthens Oklahoma City's profile more? Two soccer teams with the ability to attract an international brand of player and that do things to support local charities, or not? I mean, I understand the logic behind wanting – I don't understand the logic of – saying that you want to raise the profile of Oklahoma City and hashtag grow the game, but then to degrade other organizations that are literally trying to do the same thing. I mean, God forbid that we like work together to make Oklahoma City a better place.
And let me make a quick point in terms of attendance, I guess.
Sure.
So sidetrack, let's talk attendance. The big question is, can Oklahoma City support two professional soccer teams? The answer to that question is very obviously yes. Okay? And here is a not an apples to apples point because the size of the game is different, but Manchester, England has a population of 540,000 people, and they successfully support at least two, arguably three, successful professional soccer teams. Now, obviously, that's England. That's arguably the birthplace of soccer. Oklahoma City proper, not even the surrounding communities, has 610,000 people in it. So, and we're not trying to fill Old Trafford, 110,000 seats. You know, we're putting 20,000 butts in seats for both teams. So, I think it's fair to say we want a rivalry there. It wouldn't be right without a
sure.
rivalry.
Friendly rivalry, right?
But if you're really about growing the game, why are you trying to snuff out one team?
Hey, look.
I don't understand.
If you listen to this podcast and read between the lines, you're going to hear two guys who are trying really hard, who want to be fans of both teams. And this kind of leads me to my next point. There is this whole atmosphere of complete negativity and cynicism and pessimism that is coming out of the energy that makes it really hard for me to want to be associated with that team at all. And I don't know where it comes from. It's like, do you know anybody that supports the OKC Blue but hates the Thunder? It's just, there's so much cutting off of the nose to spite the face, and it is comical. So
I will say to play devil's advocate here, there are certain people on the Rio side that do the same thing.
Very
via
fair.
Social media.
Very fair.
So, and they have their reasons for doing it, but you won't find us doing it. I mean,
all we're trying to do, all we've ever tried to do, is bring an objective narrative to the table to push back against the easy narrative. But look, where does the negative attitude come from? Because it's so pervasive across, at least if Twitter is representative. Wait, I don't know that that's debatable, right? The rumor that it's just so pervasive. Where does it come from? The rumor that the Energy Ownership Group used the legal system to block beer sales at Miller Stadium last night, and that they hosted a team event in UConn last night.
Yeah, it was no secret.
That's so petty.
It was no secret that the Rio front office was planning to sell beer at the stadium from the beginning.
Right.
So it can only be seen as a calculated response to do it late the night before the first game. So let me step back a little bit, because one thing we've been seeing a lot is, great, you sold out your home opener. I don't even think they said that much. 6,416 seat tickets sold, plus 200
standing room only.
So the number that we saw, as you mentioned earlier, was, 95% of those people were given free tickets. Okay, we have it from a good source, who actually would think from the source want to make this number even greater, but we have it from a good source that 700 ticket vouchers were given away. So subtract 700 from the sold out 6,616 people, and that's still a wildly successful home opener.
Well, look, it's not like the Rio front office has suddenly invented this new marketing scheme that is so anathema to other sports ownership groups that they're like hating on it. Like,
yeah.
Teams give away tickets all the time, and if there's ever a game that you want to announce as a sellout, it's your first one. I expect that they give out ticket vouchers for the next two or three or four home games to continue to get people in the stadium, feel the atmosphere, and see the product on the field. And by the way, comparing attendance figures is not the way to evaluate.
Because like I said, and we will see this Saturday night, Oklahoma City is big enough to support two teams. Both stadiums can sell out every Saturday night all throughout the summer. There's no Thunder games to conflict with. There's no college football until we get into the NASL playoffs. It's silly to think that one of these teams has to be the victor.
Well, dude, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills when I read Twitter. I really, the sense of reality is so warped that it is almost it is ironic to me that the club that is backed by another club is an investment, like the cynical kind of like Emirate, you know, like the NYCFC, Manchester City like scheme, is, in my point of view, the one that is fighting to be independent, is fighting to be progressive, is fighting to support the community, and is fighting to raise the profile of Oklahoma City. Look, you know, stepping off the soapbox, and hopefully not a fanboy when I said all that stuff, like, Rio Oklahoma City might fail. Like, very well might fail. But if it fails, it should do so on what I will call actual merits, and not on manufactured controversies. Not on arguments about semantics. So, that's all I have to say about that.
All right. Well said.
Thank you. Any closing thoughts on your end?
No, I don't think so. I think I'll be interested to see what happens this coming Saturday with both teams having home games at the same time. Will be interesting, to see how this team moves in the community and enthralls the community, if they will. I think fair points all around. And
Look, there's a lot of work to be done still. I mean, the road's not getting any easier. So, look, stay tuned. We know we will be, and we'll report back next week. Thanks for listening.